improve a bit, so that I can see better of all of you. It's good morning. Well, it's been for a while, I mean, you know, since, you know, I saw you. And during the summer, I was in China, you know, doing a short-term mission. And it's hot, but, you know, it's a fun and fruitful period over there. Actually, you know, we spent a lot of time with the young people over there as well. I mean, high school, graduate, you know, and going to university. So we use the time to teach them English. At the same time, share with them, you know, who we are, why we are, you know, going, traveling half of the world, you know, to be with them, right? And also take the opportunity, we can open the Bible, but we share why we believe in what we believe. And tell them, you know, other than the ideology that you are given, that, you know, that's a different perspective about life. And what is the purpose of life, you know, what happened after death, you know, yeah. So we have a fruitful time over there. And it's also very eventful. So I mean, I hope that, you know, later on, if we have the opportunity, then I'm going to share a bit more. And also the after I finish, you know, the sermon, then I need to rush out. The reason why is because, you know, I need to help up with the other church also preaching. So, and I'm really sorry about it. Usually, you know, I stay back and spend some time with you, but this time, once I'm done, then I need to go. And so, today's topic is, you know, what is so important about faith, right? Once Thomas Aquinas, a theologian, yeah, say that to the one who has faith, no explanation is necessary, right? So to the one who has faith, like all of us, we have faith, right? No explanation is necessary. And to the one without faith, no explanation is possible. So since you are, you know, you all have faith, then I don't need to talk anymore, so I can go now, right? No. What is so important about faith, right? While life can be hard, can be very hard, difficult at the best of time, faith is the knowledge, the belief, conviction deep down inside that things will get better. You will become stronger, and it is taking the next step when you cannot see the entire staircase, right? And speaking simply, life would fail to have reason if we do not have faith. You think about that, right? We couldn't drive our car every day without faith, right? Because we never check, you know, go under the hood and, you know, check the tire every time, check the brake every time. And when we drive, right, and when we see it's a green light, we will go naturally because we believe we have faith that car on the other side will stop for us. That's the basic things that we have. And I'm sure, you know, some of us, you know, from Hong Kong, from mainland China, or when you go on vacation, you know, you take the plane, you take the flight, right? And you never doubt the flight will take off, right? And then take you to the place that you have, although, you know, it's 35,000 feet above the ground. You never have any doubt. You think that it will work, right? So without faith, how can you move one moment to the next? You cannot. Without completely second guess every last thing that we did. Without faith, we cannot expect that things will turn out all right for no matter what situation may be. Faith, that is just as important as the air that we breathe. While the oxygen in air gives us our body need, the faith feeds our heart and our soul, what our heart and what our soul require. It is the energy that going through every single fiber and cell through our beings. It is part of every muscle and every strength of thought. It is important to have faith in our life. It is fundamental to our existence. I think we all agree, right? I've known people who have moved mountains with the faith, and even when the situation seems very bleak and difficult, it was their faith that carried them through. That's little to no explanation for it. I mean, nobody can explain it. it is beyond explanation sometimes that binds us together, carrying each of our deepest wishes and desire. That's where faith lies. Faith allows things to happen. It is a power that comes from a fearless heart. And with a fearless heart, we believe. We believe what? We believe in the happening of miracle. And unfortunately, some people, they don't believe in things that they cannot see. Some people don't believe in things that are outside the physical realm. They need to touch it. They need to sense it. They need to see it. They need to go through the process of thinking and reasoning in order for them to believe. Yeah. And they always, you know, think on cause and effect, failing to find miracle in their lives. Yeah. In the book of Hebrew, the Bible defines faith as an assurance of things that we hope for, being the proof of things we don't see and the conviction of their reality. Right? I'm sure nowadays, you know, when we buy things, let's say, you know, yesterday, you know, when we go to McDonald's, right, we go to the kiosk, I mean, those, you know, station, we punch in, you know, what we want, and then we use the credit card, and then it gives us a bill, not a hamburger, not a drink, but the bills that give us insurance that, you know, after that, the number will be called, and then we will receive, you know, the combo that we order. Faithful is that, right? It's not a hamburger, it's not a combo, it's a piece of paper. But that's the faith that gives you insurance, that gives you the hope that after a while, then you'll get the drink, you'll get the french fry, and you'll get the hamburger that you order, right? And that's faith. Yeah. Why faith is so important? What is so important about faith? There are four things that we're going to look into this morning. Number one. Oh, thank you. You're listening. Very good. Then I'll give this back to you. Thank you. I appreciate, you know, this gentleman all the time. Help me with the PowerPoint. Yeah. So number one, faith moves God to act. Faith moves God to act. Isn't it amazing? Right? God is powerful. God is all-knowing, right? And God can do anything. But with the faith that we had, it moves them. It moves Him, right? Because in Mark chapter 2, verse, it's a story about the four friends, right, who carry his friend. He is paralytic. Paralytic, which means that, you know, that he cannot move, right? And then what did they do, okay? They build a stretch, right? And then, you know, carry them to Jesus, right? When Jesus, you know, saw them, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the lame man got up and grabbed his mat and went home. When Jesus saw the faith of the lame man's friend, not the paralytic, not the one who cannot walk, but the friends, right? They say, he moved on behalf of them and healed their friends. So, we are friends of the other. Sometimes, you know, our faith can help the others. Right? As Christians, we always petition God, ask Him to meet our need, to heal our body or relationship, or give us, you know, wisdom. As James chapter 1, verse 5, you know, say, unless we ask in faith without doubting, we won't believe, we won't receive, we will not receive what we are asking for. No matter what the situation is, no matter how bad you think it may seem, your faith can and will get you through. No matter how bad the situation it may seem, your faith, our faith, can and will get us through. You must hold on to the expectation that great things to come, great things will happen. But at the same time, you need to continue to push and search for an answer, for solution, for method to help you to resolve whatever situation you may be facing in your life. Just like the four friends, they have to act, right? They don't just sit there. They build a stretch, right? Hopefully, you know, it's strong enough to hold their friend, and they carry them. And after carry them, what did they do? They saw the house is crowded. So what did they do? They hoist, they carry, they push, you know, the stretch on the roof. And on the roof, what did they do? They make a big hole. I don't know how much they pay for that afterward. I think, you know, a few months ago, that, you know, there's a strong wind. A lot of people, the roof get damaged. And, well, they did that. They had just like wind, dig the hole, and then what did they do? They put lower down the stretch. And that is Jesus see him, because they believe in it. They didn't sit there, sit still. They find a solution. They still push for it, right? If you really want to, young men and also, you know, old men, young women, and also, I mean, older women, or even mature women, if you really want to achieve things in your life, I mean, really want it deep down inside, and you have a strong enough reason that you absolutely must achieve it. Not that, you know, I mean, you want an iPhone X, you know, you want, you know, a big house, you want a good job. Those are things for you, but there are things that you want to do it, not for your own sake, but for the sake of the others. Right? Faith is the way that can help you to see it through. And never give up on your hope, man. Never give up on your hope. And never give up on your dream just because you face some initial setback. When you start all this, I'm sure it must be difficult finding a place. And then after that, you know, you have asked people to help you and work together to set up this. It's amazing. When I first came here, it's very simple, right? And now look at that. What you have become more and more sophisticated. Even, you know, have the remote control. I mean, I can, you know, when I first came, there's no monitor. There's no nothing. But now, you look at that. Yeah. You push ahead. And by faith, you came to this stage. And just now, Terrain shared with me a very good news. That you're going to have a pastor, an English pastor. It's amazing. Right? And next week, he's going to be here. And I just, you know, pray with Terrain and give thanks to him. And I pray that all of you will work together with him, all together, you know, all of you will encourage him, all of you will support him. And together, you will build a big, big place for church. Big, not in terms of number, but big in terms of your heart to embrace the other. Your desire to share your story. Your desire to do good. That's called big. Right? When I, you know, first became a pastor, right, I was a caring pastor, and I came into, you know, came in with this you know, young couple, right? The young couple, the wife, you know, developed, you know, a brain tumor, and then she was pregnant at the time, right? It's very dangerous, right? Operating at the same time, you know, with a baby in your tomb. You didn't know what to do. A lot of thoughts, you know, go through their mind, right? And one thought, you know, it's, you know, it's not having the baby because it's very dangerous. They don't know what to do. Our senior pastor met with them and prayed for them. And then I prayed for them, and also a lot of people prayed for them. Miracle happened. Yeah. Then she went through the surgery, and today, you know, her youngest daughter is 13 years old already, bumping, jumping, you know, having a lot of fun. But at the same time, there's also another couple. The name of the husband is called Dave, right? When I first met him, he was diagnosed with liver cancer, going through all the treatment. A lot of people rally, you know, around them and support them, giving them rye, cooking for them, doing things for them around the house. We also set up, you know, a prayer chain for them, right? I say, you know, okay, we'll fast and pray. Right, very serious. But, you know, he passed away on 13th. I mean, you know, we set up a chain for 40 days to pray for him. But the Lord took him away at 39 days. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. It's my experience, you know, doing my Christian walk. I have trust God enough to move in several areas of my life. Sometime I got great result. Sometime I saw no result. When I did get results, sometime they came quick. Sometime I wait. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answer why. But I do believe this. God has filled me with Holy Spirit power. Jesus has given me his righteousness and the authority to use his name. I don't always feel it, but I trust that it's there. And it's because of that I am going to keep moving. I'm still keep moving. Just like the two experiences that I had when I first became a pastor. God healed one, but God, you know, take one home. I don't know why. But I still keep my faith going with all this because I believe in it. Faith is not belief. It's not the belief that God will do what you want. Faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It is the faith that God will do what is right. Sometimes we don't know what is right. But with that, we just trust that what God did, what God does, will be right and would be right. Number two, faith strengthens us. Faith strengthens us. And that's a saying, right? Whatever does not kill you will make you strong. Whatever does not kill you will make you strong, right? I come across this song. I think we all know that. Perhaps, you know, you can sing it, you know, sometime later. God had not promised skies always blue, flower string pathway all our lives through. God had not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God had promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trial, help from above, unfailing sympathy and undying love. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, it said, right? Let us not become weary in doing good. Not become weary in doing good. You're doing good. You have been doing good. And let's not weary, right? For at the proper time, in God's time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We should not be surprised that when our faith is tested. James chapter 2, verse 3 said, the testing of your faith produce patience. As we stand firm in faith through trial, God get his glory, God get his happiness. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. That's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Yeah. I don't know whether you remember, you know, that's a powerful story in the Old Testament. Yeah, called in the book of Job, right? And there's a guy, the story is about a man named Job, right? He believed strongly in God and held high in his faith. But the story goes, one day, you know, the devil pay God a whiz, knock on the door. And then the devil, you know, reason with that, you know, Job, why Job is faithful? Because, you know, he has everything. He's been so blessed for. He has a beautiful wife, you know, beautiful children, a big house, right? And 3-car garage, you know, and then 4 weeks vacation with bonus and option, you know, at the end of the year. Right? Yeah. And the devil proposed that, you know, that God, if you take everything away from him, right, you know, start, he would no longer be faithful. So the devil claimed that, you know, Job will curse God. You know, if you take it away, not only he won't believe in you, he will curse you. Yeah. And try it. Right, let's see what happened. And the agreement is, okay, that God say, okay, you can take away everything from him, but not his, don't touch his life, right? Keep him alive, right? Over the course of the trial, right, Job lost everything. you know, start, you know, with his children, with his wife, with his housing, with his big car, with his three-car garage, big houses, right? And of course, all his money, you know, friends, everything. However, and even though when his wife told him he should curse what you believe in, forget it, look at that, I mean, you know, yeah, whatever you believe in doesn't do you any good, right? But Job didn't, and he remained faithful, right? The story at the end, Job, you know, was restored. He was given everything back, right? Possession. I think instead of three-car garage house, he was given a four-car garage house. Huh? The moral of the story, I think whatever doesn't kill you, make you stronger. Whatever doesn't kill you, make you stronger. Stronger not necessary that you have more, but I think you have more in terms of your experience, the more in terms of your faith, the more in terms of your strength, mental strength. Yeah, the more that you can share with the others. Yeah, times may be bad, and you may be, you may want to throw in a proverbial towel, which means that you want to give up, but never lose faith. For a person without faith is like a stream without water; they will cease to exist. I remember this couple, you know, I met David, you know, that's a husband. When we went to a mission together in Cambodia in 2013, you know, a year later, you know, her wife called me and asked me for help. I said, what happened? She told me that David has changed a lot and probably will have a bipolar disorder, right? Which means that, you know, you can Google what's bipolar disorder afterward, right? And he has become a different person, speaking nonsense sometime, right? And then, he could go out without sleep for days, and sometimes not taking showers, right? Talking and sometimes looking at stranger with a peculiar manner. Yeah, he got lost one time, and he couldn't remember, you know, his way home. Yeah. And when his wife found him, you know, he's lying in the front lawn of a house a couple blocks away and tried picking up grasses, right? And when he met his wife, he said, you know, I forgot. I didn't know how to go home. He deteriorated further, you know, as the times move on, right? He was making more mess. And it got messier and messier, right? At the dinner table, and a lot of time in the bathtub, in the washroom. Yeah, you can imagine, you know, when they go out to eat at the beginning, right? And sometimes, you know, when he eats very fast and then just scrabble all the food, and sometimes he choke and then he vomit. At times, you know, sometimes, you know, when he finished eating, he just dash out, right? So when we have dinner or lunch together, you know, when he dashed out, then we had to follow him. Right? 2 years later, around, you know, 2015, after doctors and doctor visit, examination after examination, and finally, he was given the diagnostic as frontal lobe dementia. It was a terrible disease without any cure. It erased your personality. It reached your ability to communicate. He lost both, you know, his verbal. He did not even show his emotion. When I look at him, right, there's nothing. I mean, when people laugh, same face. When people upset, same face. Yeah. Yeah. He could not care for himself, from eating to toileting. Yeah. He only had a shell. Right. He needed 24/7 care. It was sad, very sad. And it's no way out for his wife. And Lavina, time to time, share with me the thought of giving up. Right. I don't remember how many times she cried in different occasions, in front of a small group, yeah, or privately, I mean, or personally with me, yeah. Though talking about it, he never put it into action. She honored his faith. She kept to his faith. She kept to his commitment to God and to David. And eventually, her faith enabled her to embrace the fact. And it make it, you know, it become part of his life, no matter how difficult he is. He starts sharing more and more, you know, with the small group. And in the prayer group, he started open more. And at the same time, things start to change. We see a lot more and more people rally around her to support her, to pray for her, to visit her, to take David out. As in one time, you know, we had to take David, you know, to examination, right? It's a CT scan. You lie down. There's no way for him to do it. We don't know what to do. But once we take him, to, you know, to the lab, and when the door opened, don't know what, where, and just come this nurse. He just hold his hand, and they say, "Come, David, with me," and then just grab him in. And then we're so scared about it. But half an hour later, you know, she came out with him, and then we just took him home. We think that it's impossible for him to do that, but things happen, right? She kept her faith. Yeah. And a few weeks ago, I attended the funeral or the memorial service for David. He's with the Lord. The Lord took him. Yeah. And when Lavina shared the story, right, shared her memory with David, of course there were tears. She was sad, but she was not defeated. Faith enabled her to make through that 4 terrible years. She came out of it, and she became stronger, much stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Faith carry you through. Faith strengthen you. Number 3, faith encourage others as well. The way that we apply our faith, the way that we show our faith to overcome anxiety and fear, difficulties and challenges, will encourage the other. Unshakable faith is always encouraging and inspiring. I think we all agree that. Others will notice and touch by it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, it says, "We give thanks to God." That's from, you know, Paul, right? Paul says, "We give thanks to God and Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, for the church of the Colossians, for the Colossian people. Since we heard of your faith in Christ and of your love for all the saints." Even Paul, you know, was touched by it, encouraged by it. People learn by show and tell. Very simple. I mean, you know, we cannot preach. I mean, no matter how I preach, no matter how the parents preach to their kid, sometimes they don't listen. But I think it's a show and tell. What you did in your life, how you behave in your life, that tell them. When we learn others, how others go through difficulties in life, how others overcome adversity, by faith, we are inspired, we encourage, we applaud, realize that it is possible, and it gives us the strength and motivation to do the same when we face similar situation. It helps to stay committed to faith in God when you see others doing the same. When you're alone, it's difficult, but when you know that you are not alone, that gives you the strength, that gives you the motivation. That give you something to move on. Right? Choose to stand strong in your faith and inspire the other to do the same. And I believe, you know, that's what a lot of you are doing. What the leadership team are doing here. And that's why. I don't know whether you remember, you know, that this beautiful woman called Esther is, you know, from the Old Testament. She was Jewish and she was chosen as a queen. Back time, the queen, you know, it's a very high and prestigious position, right? She has everything the people long for at the time. I'm sure, you know, she can buy the LV bag, she can, you know, enjoy, you know, sashimi, anything that she wants, right? And one day, she got a request from his uncle to talk to the king. But at the time, I mean, you know, the law is no one can see the king unless the king asks for you. Anyone who does not follow the law will face death, right? You will get killed. But it is important for her to do that, to resolve a conspiracy against his people. He knew it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Yeah, she may lose his life, but by faith she chooses to do so. So she should opt out, and she refused to remain, to stay in his comfort zone, and is in her luxurious lifestyle. Right? Her choice, her action in faith, become the model, become the model example, and remain faithful, and tell people remain faithful. Although it's dangerous, it's difficult, it's a viable option and can have a good outcome if you keep to your faith and trust in God. If you persist and insist, if you do not give up to fear, if you believe in miracle. And then, what happened? He dissolved the conspiracy and destroyed the enemy. He became a hero, a model, an inspiration, an encouragement to all her people. And every year, around April or March, the entire Jews, I mean, you know, here in Toronto as well, they celebrate the festival of Purim to remember her, to remember her faith, to remember that, you know, she opt out from her comfort zone, and then did what she called to do. We may not need to put our life on the line like Esther. We do not have to, we don't have to face death to show our faith. But we learn to harbor faith and to use it to eliminate stress, to handle anxiety, to get rid of fear, to believe and expect that all those things, all those blessings will pass away and situation will turn around. And they will. This is not about ignoring your problem. No. It is about knowing your situation that and believing this, your situation will be improved. And you believe deep down inside, in your heart, in your soul, that when the storm that you face is over, people around will be encouraged and inspired. It is not how we are blessed by Lord in good time that people will remember. It is how we go through the tough time, the storm of our life, that people will remember. Remember the story of Lavinia? In the prayer group, in the small group, when she shared her experience, not only she cried, people cry for her. People cry with her. It's the mother of the autistic kid that when she listened to her story, that she get encouraged. It's the wife of a husband, of a troubled husband. The daughter of an aging and ailing mother that require a lot of attention, draw a lot of energy, make her very tired. The woman whose husband has been off job for a long time, they don't know how to handle the situation. It's through the story of Lavinia, they get encouraged and inspired. They all find comfort in hearing the story of Lavinia. Her faith in what she believed in, believing in a living God that cares and loves, will not abandon her, will not hang her out dry, will send people to help her in critical situation, will help the needy and weary woman who face her own challenge. Faith will encourage the other. If you kept to it, if you exercise it, if you act onto it, the last but not the least. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. When I was young, when I came across this passage, I don't quite understand it. Why? Right? The more I grow up, you know, it's that, you know, faith is choosing to believe. First of all, the Christian faith profess an unreserved belief in the Bible. We believe in the Bible. We believe, you know, this is the Word of God. And this is the Word of God to mankind. True, tested, and unchanging. Faith is also full and unreserved confidence in God and His love for us. He came down from heaven to earth and to show us who He is, and then He died for us. And most important, He resurrected 3 days later. And then He also, I mean, after, you know, and not only that, He will be giving us the power and help us to face whatever comes into our life. Faith is a choice come from our heart. I need to have faith to become a Christian. I choose to believe in Jesus Christ, that He died for our sin. Then by living in Him, my sins will be forgiven. It is in a person that saves a living soul, not a faith in a particular philosophy or a code of conduct that you do this, you'll be okay. You don't this, you'll be condemned. And during the journey of faith, our pride will tell us this is impossible. Our experience, what we learn, will tell us this is risky. Our reason will tell us, you know, this is pointless, it's worthless. But the heart of faith will tell us, give it a try. Faith is not the ability to believe long and far into the misty future. It's not. But it's simply taking God at His word and taking the next step of life. Let me end here, you know, with a story. End of the story. It's a French guy called Charles Blandin, right? He is a tightrope walker. Do you know what's a tightrope walker? Right? You know, it's a guy that, you know, I'm sure you know, sometimes see on TV, right? From here to over there, right? And then you walk over there. So, yeah. He's famous for that. Yeah. You can Google afterward. September 14, 1860, right? It's almost 200 years. It's still, I mean, 100 year, right? Actually, you know, close to that. He became the first person, actually, you know, to cross tightrope stretch 11,000 feet across what? Across the mighty Niagara Fall. It connects to us, right? He walked across 160 feet over the fall a number of times. Each time, you know, with a daring, you know, with a different act. Right, one's in a sack, one is in a stilt, you know, the stilt, you know, the goal cure, right? And one time on a bicycle, right? And one time, you know, with his eye blindfold, right? One time he even carried a stove and then cooked an egg omelet in between. It's amazing, huh? Nobody dared to do that. And each time, you know, and it, of course, you know, it's an amazing act, right? A large crowd gathered at the booths of the excitement, ran along both sides of the riverbank. People, you know, from the United States, they went there. People from Canada also, you know, go there, you know, to look at, went there to look at the act. The crowd, right? As Bundane carefully walked across, one dangerous step after another. Then at one of the time when he finished, right, he asked for a participation of a volunteer, right? Whoever want to join me for the act, I'm going to carry him across the rope, right? Of course, they said, wow, yay, right? And he asked, do you believe in it? He said, yeah, we believe in you, right? Because, you know, you're the greatest tightroper in the world. We believe. Then, okay. Yeah, who want to get into the wheelbarrow? Who want to get onto my back? I'm going to carry him through, right? And after that, you know, the crowd becomes silent. Nobody dare to walk out. Except one time. Right, there's one among the crowd who said, "I want to do that. I want to do that with you. I believe in you." And actually, it was his manager who had known him for years, who has great faith in his technique. Yeah. And his name is called Harry Cocott. And he, you know, jumped into the back of Charles Bendane, and then they walk across. This unique story illustrates a real life picture of what faith actually is. The crowd watch this daring act. They say they believe, but their actions prove they truly did not believe. Similarly, for all of us, it's one thing for us to say that we believe in God. However, it's true faith when we believe in God and put our faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. And also, you have faith and willing to ride on His back when you show Him your trust and belief that He will take you, He will take you from one side to the other. He will carry you over the challenges and difficulties with you. When He did that, how would God feel at the time? When somebody trusts you and share things with you, and when they ask for help and you really can help them, and you went through and you go through the difficulties with them, how would you feel? When I read Hebrews 11:16, without faith it is impossible to please God, that I have a different understanding. Because God feels the joy and happiness when we trust Him, when we allow Him, when we hang on to Him in the difficulties, and He can do it together with us. Do you see yourself in a crowd yelling, "Ah, ooh," but remain silent when you invite to come on to the rope? Or you are the one that saying, "I trust and believe," accept the invitation and hop onto as He called? Or do you listen to pride, to reason, to experience, saying it is impossible, it is worthless, it is risky, and stay put? Or you follow the heart of faith and willing to give it a try? Which one is you? Which one is you? I'll let you answer it yourself. Let's pray. Dear God, we give thanks to You that Jesus Christ came and died for us. And You show us, you know, Your love and care. And You tell us that as long as we believe in You, then we have the privilege. We have the privilege, you know, to be Your sons and daughter. And You also give us the assurance that we have power to overcome, to go through difficulties in our lives. And also encourage that as well. Lord, for that I pray. Again, we give thanks to You as we preach, as we share Your word, that You'll be with us. Give us the faith that we need at times of difficulties, at times of good, at times that we don't have a lot of faith, that You carry us, you know, do the same thing over this rock, and then we can enjoy, you know, the success of overcoming difficulties of Your life. Lord, for that I pray. Give thanks to You. Listen to our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.